This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our subject today is, when the government says you can't buy a gun, what can you do? Our guest is Cindy Hill, attorney and author of The Brady Denial from Paladin Press. Cindy, welcome to Talking to America.
Thanks, Aaron. Wonderful to be here.
I have to ask you the obvious question. What is a Brady denial?
Aaron, a Brady denial is what most folks have come to call the situation where a person has a background check done, which is required under the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act before they buy a gun. And the background check comes back saying that the gun dealer can't go ahead with the sale. The way that works is like this. When a person goes to buy a firearm from a federally licensed gun dealer in the U.S., he or she has to fill out a form called the ATF 4473 at the counter of the gun shop.
That's the infamous yellow form.
The infamous yellow form, yep. And that form asks for information like your name, your address, your social security number, what kind of gun is being purchased, and so on. And it has a bunch of questions about whether you've got criminal convictions, whether you're a U.S. citizen. And the person trying to buy the gun has to swear that all those answers on the form are true. If they aren't true, he or she can be charged with the crime of perjury, which is lying under oath. The gun dealer then takes that information, makes a phone call, and depending on the state, that'll be either to a state agency or the FBI's NICS system, the National Instant Check System. But either way, that info from the form will be run through millions of records in several state and federal databases to see if the person trying to buy the gun meets one of nine different categories of reasons for which federal law prohibits them from being in possession of a firearm. Now, those nine categories, while you can't have a gun under federal law, aren't new. They're part of the Gun Control Act of 1968. Some of them have been added since, but that law has been in effect a long time. But this requirement of having a background check first before purchasing a gun is relatively new. And even during the 6 or 7 years that that's been going on, these millions of records are being increasingly loaded into these databases, so that's a new phenomenon. And thousands of people who've had guns all their lives, never realizing they were supposed to be prohibited under one of these categories, are suddenly in for a rude surprise when they go to buy a new gun and one of these Brady denial incidents happens and they get told that under federal law they can't purchase a firearm.
You made the comment here that he or she can be charged with a crime of perjury, which is lying under oath.
Yeah.
Is someone actually under oath when they're filling out a 4473?
When you sign it, there is a signatory, an oath paragraph above your signature that you swear that the foregoing information is true under pains and penalties of perjury. And in fact, the most common prosecution relative to the purchase of a gun is actually the lying on the form, is actually the charge of perjury. Because it's very easy for them to prove. If you say you don't have a felony conviction, but you do, or you say you don't have a misdemeanor conviction for domestic violence crime, but you do, all they have to do is charge you with lying on the form, and there's really very little work for the prosecutor to have to do. You've got a form where you swore you didn't have a conviction. They have a piece of paper that shows you have a conviction, and you're now guilty of the federal felony of perjury.
Well, another question I have for you is that all of these databases that are being created, this in effect is just a simple way of creating gun registration.
Effectively, could be, could well be.
Okay.
Well, won't argue with you there.
Okay. Well, who gets Brady denials?
Well, if you believe the media and gun control advocates, the people getting Brady denials are these, you know, nasty, evil, hardened criminals. You know, I mean, honestly, there's probably a few of those out there, but I've been doing criminal defense law and representing thousands of criminal defendants for over 20 years, and these caricatures of the evil criminal out there are actually few and far between compared to the ordinary person who winds up in the criminal justice system. And I can tell you that very, very few of those really bad actors, as it were, are trying to walk into a gun store and legally purchase a firearm through a licensed firearm dealer and, in fact, providing accurate information and the appropriate legal identification on their background check forms. The fact is that most of the people getting Brady denials usually have no idea whatsoever that something in their background would leave them prohibited by federal law from having a gun, because if they knew, they wouldn't walk into a gun store and try to fill out the form and buy one. So a typical example from folks I've represented on Brady denial issues would be a guy in his 50s who didn't realize that an incident had been involved in on his 18th birthday, where he and his buddies went out and got drunk and stole someone's lawn ornament and, you know, wound up in the lockup and going to court the next day and maybe had to pay $50 or do a weekend of work crew, really got logged into his criminal record as a felony conviction because the lawn ornament was worth over $100. And I, in fact, had two cases of exactly those facts. One was a lawn statue, the other was a bench. And these guys had no idea that these were felonies on their records. And the fact that the guy might never have had so much as a traffic ticket since, was a good employee, family man, whatever, doesn't matter in the Brady system. This is one of those convicted felons that you hear about who was trying to get away with buying a gun.
Well, welcome to America.
Yeah, welcome to America.
I question, do these Brady background checks ever make mistakes?
Absolutely. There's tons of these denials, like I was just talking about, which have the impact of disarming a large segment of our population who today are perfectly respectable citizens, even if there might be something in their past that technically results in putting them on the denial list. But there are hundreds, probably thousands of people every year receiving Brady denials purely by accident because they have a similar name or date of birth to someone else who is on the denial list. There's over 100,000 people every year getting the Brady denials, and a lot of those are just plain errors. And not coincidentally, I think this happens a lot with people who have what I'd call non-Anglo names, like Hispanic or Middle Eastern names, where the person looking at the database records is just ignorant of how these names work or thinks they look too much alike, and so will mistakenly say, well, this person's name is too much like someone's name that's on a denial list.
You're listening to Talkin' to America with our guest, Cindy Hill. Here once again is your host, Aaron Zellman.
Previously, you mentioned that there were 9 different categories of reasons why someone can be prohibited from possessing a firearm under federal gun control laws. But the only one of these we usually hear about is convicted felons. So can you tell us about those criminal convictions that will land you in a Brady denial?
Yep, it's true. There are 9 categories of reasons under the Federal Gun Control Act why you can't have a firearm. 4 of those 9 categories are related to criminal matters, and the first we usually hear about is what people erroneously call felon in possession. And this is the largest category of people prohibited from possessing firearms, but the federal definition of which criminal convictions count to deny you a gun is very, very confusing, even to attorneys practicing in this field. As a starting point, it prohibits people who have a conviction from any court that had a potential sentence of a year or more, but there are a bunch of additions and a bunch of exceptions to this rule. Some felony convictions don't prohibit a person from possessing a firearm, even if you served a jail sentence. For example, most white-collar business crimes don't count. So people who rip off millions in pension funds or commit some kind of security fraud can still go out and own their 25,000 shotguns and go grouse hunting. And I know I'm kind of cynical about that. And, you know, it may be that there are a lot of perfectly nice people out there who happen to have these white-collar convictions. But the federal gun control law has got a lot of classist and racist overtones, and this is one of them that is one of my pet peeves. You know, you rip off a lawn ornament as a kid on an overboisterous night, and you get threatened with federal prison if you try to buy a new deer rifle, but commit a white-collar crime, you know, that impacts hundreds of working people, and, you know, hey, no problem, the gun control laws don't apply to you. That's just one of the real injustices in how these laws are applied. Other felony convictions that don't count include ones where someone's gotten a pardon, or if you had a deferred sentence, which results in the conviction later being set aside, or if you live in a state where some of your rights were taken away when you were convicted. In many states, if you get convicted of a felony, you lose the right to vote or to serve in office. But then when you get off probation or sometime later that right is reinstated, then the conviction no longer counts for federal firearms prohibitions. But, for example, get convicted of the same thing in Vermont, we don't take away any of your rights on conviction, so the same conviction for the same crime would count for the rest of your life. which is both ironic and very confusing, because the same conviction for the same crime in different states may or may not count to prohibit you under federal gun control law. One last irony on that is that many state misdemeanors also count to disqualify people under the same federal category. If the state misdemeanor has a potential jail sentence of 2 years or more, the federal gun control statute counts it, even though it was a misdemeanor, and that includes a lot of state DUI and minor assault-type convictions. So just on that one category, there's tons of confusion as to what counts and what doesn't. The other three criminal-related categories are: the second one is misdemeanor convictions of domestic violence, which continues to take a lot of people by surprise because, you know, minor disputes that were treated, you know, as very minor incidents decades ago are suddenly popping up and causing Brady denials. Another related category that's not criminal but has to do with court orders is pending family court stay-away orders. And those can cause a lot of trouble because a lot of times the court records don't note when the stay-away order has closed and you're reinstated to your firearms rights. And the last one is fugitive from justice, which is if you've got a warrant out for you somewhere, even for an unpaid civil traffic ticket you got on vacation and forgot to pay, not that I've ever done such a thing, leaves you being a fugitive from justice, and you'll get a Brady denial on that too. So the four, at least court records related categories are felony convictions, misdemeanor domestic assault convictions, family court stay away orders, and fugitive from justice. And they all have to do with court records that are often confusing or inaccurate, especially older records in rural states like Vermont here and in many other rural states. Even up till very recently, they were all kept handwritten on little index cards that are unreadable that now people are trying to load into these databases, and a lot of mistakes can be made on them.
Well, it certainly is confusing.
Yep.
So I guess what you're telling me is if only four of the nine categories had to do with court records, I take it the other five have nothing to do with criminal convictions.
Absolutely. And these other five non-court-related categories that you can be prohibited from having a gun for really take a lot of gun owners by surprise. I think most folks assume that yeah, the people who are prohibited from having guns are criminals, but five of these categories have nothing whatsoever to do with criminal courts. Three of those are having a dishonorable discharge from the military, being an illegal alien, or renouncing your U.S. citizenship, although that's one of the least utilized denial bases, and it's a little unclear exactly how far you'd have to go or what exactly you'd have to do to qualify under that one. But two of these other non-criminal categories that are very troubling is one is called being a known user of illegal drugs. And this doesn't require any criminal conviction or proof of any kind. It relies on the opinion of your local law enforcement officers. And I've talked to at least two guys who had called to consult with me who got Brady denials with no criminal record. And both of these guys had ponytails and Harley Davidsons, and their local police had assumed they were pot smokers and inserted into the database regarding names checks for background checks that they were known drug users, even with no criminal convictions whatsoever. And the only relief these guys would have had would have been filing a federal lawsuit to try to rectify the situation. Where they then, with no criminal conviction, would have been in the position of trying to prove that they were not users of illegal drugs. And another non-criminal category is people who've been adjudicated mentally incompetent. And this is also a very troubling category. I know about a year and a half ago now, 2 years ago, the Veterans Administration uploaded thousands of records of primarily Vietnam-era vets into the Brady background check databases. And the suspicion that folks have now is that military discharges on the grounds of mental health issues are going to start being used as grounds for Brady denial as being adjudications of mental incompetence. This really hasn't started to play out yet, but it's extremely troubling, and it's going to raise all kinds of issues about the privacy of mental health records and just how far the government's going to go in disarming people who might have sought mental health counseling for temporary problems like depression associated with job loss or something like that. So these five categories have nothing to do with criminal convictions at all, and you got to know that it, under the Federal Gun Control Act and under Brady, many people without a single criminal conviction are being disarmed by federal gun control.
Okay, well, I like to ask authors why they write their books. So tell us why there's a book about Brady denials.
Well, every year, of the 100,000 people who get a Brady denial or so, many of them are simple mistakes and should be promptly overturned. Many of them that aren't simple mistakes, that are based on actual incidents, if you actually looked into the facts and the details of those incidents, it's also an error and the Brady denial should be overturned. And of those that are accurate, that is for people who actually do have an incident that meets one of these nine categories in their past, there are lots of ways for people to go back and try to remove those things from their records or change them, but most people don't pursue these options. And the reason they don't, of the small percentage of people who do, the rate of overturning these is pretty good, but only a small percentage of people pursue that option. And I think most people are afraid of either bringing more attention to themselves or raising red flags to government law enforcement agencies. And I can understand that on many levels, but it's really just not right. Just like getting a denial of coverage from a health insurance company, and a lot of people don't challenge it, even though they're entitled to get the coverage. It's the same thing. You have a right. You have a right to your firearms rights. You have a right to have your firearms, constitutional right. Getting the denial, it's very troubling that so many people just accept them at face value, thinking, "Gee, well, the government says so, so they must be right." Thousands of American citizens are just accepting being disarmed when they don't have to be. So I wrote this book, Brady Denial. You can get your guns back. It's available from Paladin Press. Can I go ahead and give them that number? Right.
Oh,
now?
Absolutely.
Okay. They can. You can find the book, Brady Denial. You can get your guns back on the website at www.paladinpress. That's PaladinPress.com or 1-800-392-2400. And I'll repeat that again when we get to the end, I guess. But the law regarding Brady background checks and this Federal Gun Control Act impacts all of us regardless of whether we get a Brady denial ourselves or not. So I don't want people to make the mistake of thinking this is just something that applies to other guys who are criminals, or that, you know, that if you've got a criminal conviction, they don't, you know, deserve the due process and how this law is applied. Because when they say it precludes guns from criminals, you know, they really mean all of us. It really can be applied, and the way that the Brady law is being applied now makes it more and more obvious that this Gun Control Act, it has the capability of disarming a large portion of the American citizenry. This Gun Control Act, that's been around since 68, throughout history has been applied with a lot of discretion on the part of law enforcement and prosecutors and judges, and in a lot of rural areas like Vermont, no one's actually bothered a guy who had a hunting rifle, even if he was technically not supposed to have one, as long as he wasn't doing something dangerous. And admittedly, that level of discretion has downsides, because in some places of the country, the law has really been applied in a very racist manner, like a lot of criminal laws have. But with these Brady background checks, and with the Bush administration's Project Safe Neighborhoods talking about promising 100% enforcement of the gun laws we already have, my analysis leaves me suspecting that something like half of the adult men in this country could well find themselves disarmed. And that disarmament, again, given the skewed nature of our justice system, is likely to have a heavy racial or cultural bias to it. But regardless, I think that if you actually look at these nine categories of prohibition, if you in fact applied them without discretion to every single person they could be applied to, I think you're looking at disarming about half the adult men in the country. So I'd love to see Congress revisit the Gun Control Act, but something tells me that's not likely to happen real soon. So in the meantime, I'd really like to help empower gun owners who are usually so fond of their rights and vocal about them to be more assertive in putting the government to the test on these Brady denials by appealing the denials, challenging them in court when possible, and making sure that they don't just effectively roll over and let those rights be taken without a fight. When it got to the point where I was getting fairly overwhelmed with phone calls from folks all around the country asking me for advice on what to do when they get a Brady denial, I decided this book was the best way to get the answers to most of the questions I get out there and available to folks who've gotten denials, to their attorneys, and to basically to any of us who are interested in maintaining our firearms rights.
You're listening to Talkin' to America with our guest, Cindy Hill. Here once again is your host, Aaron Zellman.
Well, I guess the simple question is, so if someone gets a Brady denial, what should they do?
The first thing, Aaron, is definitely don't panic and try not to get angry. And these Brady denials can come as a real shock and be emotionally very difficult for a lot of people. And often the first reaction is getting really upset, but that won't help anything. The guy behind the counter at the gun store does not know the reason for your denial, and he would love to sell you the gun if he could, but he can't. He's just been told he can't, so he's really caught in the middle. You need to get some information from the gun dealer before you leave the store, and that includes a transaction number and the contact information for where you can get a statement of reasons for your denial, and they should hand you a little brochure that has that information on it. Then when you get home, write the letter to the contact address you've been given, asking and give them the transaction number and ask them for the reasons for your denial. And again, just be clear and brief and polite in that letter. Just, you know, one sentence, you're looking for the reasons for your denial. And don't assume that you know what that reason is going to be, and don't start arguing with them in the letter, because you can only cause more problems if you do at that point. And then this is really important. If you get a Brady denial, it means that it's been determined that it's illegal for you to be in possession of any firearms, even those you already have at home. So if you want to avoid possible seizure and forfeiture of your guns, but if you have guns at home already, you need to get them out of your possession. You can put them into storage with either a federally licensed firearms dealer or a friend or a relative who you know is themselves lawful to possess firearms and who will agree in writing to hold them and not let you have them back until your situation's resolved. Because the illegality is not owning the title to them. The illegality is them being in your possession, that is, in your reach. If you have them safely stored somewhere else where you can't get in possession of them, if you can't get your Brady denial resolved, you can at the least ensure that other relatives either inherit them or sell them for the cash and so on. If you keep them in your possession, they'll be seized by ATF often within a couple of days of your Brady denial, because these get reported right over to law enforcement, and they'll get melted down and you won't get any money for them and you'll never see them again. And that would really be tragic, especially with not only the finances involved in the investment of a gun collection, but many people have guns they're sentimentally attached to, and it would be terrible to lose, you know, your dad's service pistol or, you know, your grandfather's hunting rifle or something. So get your guns into a safe place. And once you get your guns safe and get the statement of reasons for your denial, I think you should get a copy of this book, the Brady Denial book, and then hire a local lawyer who's familiar with the field of law related to your denial, like criminal defense if it's a criminal conviction, you know, mental health law if it's a mental incompetency issue, or military law if it's a dishonorable discharge issue, and so on. And then if your lawyer wants to, he or she can contact me for a consultation regarding the Brady denial case. They can email me at lawyerhill, LAWYERHILL, at yahoo.com.
Would you like to give that again, please?
Oh, sure. It's lawyerhill, LAWYERHILL, that's all one word, at yahoo.com. And once you've got that reasons for denial, if your attorney wants to give me an email there, I'll be happy to talk with him or her and see whether or not I can look over those records or give them any suggestions. But even without doing that, the book should give you and your lawyer a really good idea of the range of options available to you to either appeal your denial, challenge it in court, or maybe fix the underlying problem that caused the denial. So not everyone can get their Brady denial overturned, obviously, but a lot of people can one way or another, especially if they're persistent enough. So it really is worth it to get the statement of reasons for your denial, take a look at this book, or have an attorney look over the matter, And it may not only help you out, but it's going to help stop the government from illegally disarming yourself and thousands of other Americans who are in a similar position to you.
This is all fascinating. Cindy, can you tell people again where they can get the book?
Sure. The book, again, is available from Paladin Press. It's called Brady Denial. You can get your guns back. And Paladin Press can be reached on their website at www.paladinpress.com. That's PaladinPress.com. And you can also give Paladin a phone call at 1-800-392-2400.
We've been talking with Cindy Hill about her book, The Brady Denial. This is Talking to America, produced by JPFO.org. And always remember, if you won't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talking to America is a production of JPFO.org.